Let me ask, who here is familiar with Trains Magazine? I have a copy here. Okay, for the others, Trains, I'm sure it's the most widely recognized railroading magazine in the country. I don't know about the world, but it's been around for a while. It's been published continuously by the same company since 1940. And in fact, its 75th anniversary is this coming month. And what I have with me here is the November issue. And the staff of Trains chose to celebrate the 75th anniversary by devoting 6 pages to, and I'll read the title, 75 People You Should Know, because they made railroading and Trains, the magazine, what it is today. Now, when I got the issue, I looked through it, and pages 58 and 59, they're short biographies of each of these 75 people. These 2 pages here contain the biographies of 8 railroad presidents: President B&O, Amtrak, Conrail, New York Central, Southern Pacific, Southern, New Haven, and Santa Fe. It also includes a short biography of Jacqueline Kennedy. I didn't know this, but she apparently was instrumental in preserving Grand Central Terminal in New York. So she's listed among the 75. Also on these pages, among the 75 people that anyone would want to know who has interest in railroads, is J.J. Young Jr. And here's what Train says about J.J. Young Jr.: a photographer with West Virginia roots who taught his craft for 36 years at a technical college in Binghamton, New York. He ranged widely, taking more than 10,000 pictures in 48 states. Frankly, I think the 10,000 figure is probably a little low, but the 48 states is interesting because John never drove a car. He never had a driver's license. Every place he went, including the 48 states, he went with friends, he went with public transportation, or he walked. I've not lived permanently in Wheeling since I left the Navy in 1964, and I didn't realize until Sean told me about the building here being located where Hempfield Yard and the power plant for the passenger terminal used to be. And that was interesting to me, because when I was thinking about it tonight, it occurred to me that if we were all here 75 years ago, we wouldn't be in the building. We would be standing out amongst the railroad tracks with equipment here and there, and the railroaders going about their business, and the trains going back and forth on 17th Street. If on any given day back then we stayed here for a while, odds are that we would see a young man in a camera coming down the passenger terminal, looking at the equipment, talking with the railroaders, photographing the railroaders and their equipment. That would have been John Young. And John was unusual back then in that he was not a model railroad. There were lots of people in Wheeling who were interested in trains, but they were primarily model railroaders. Some of them also took some photographs, but John was the only one who pretty much exclusively took photographs. One anecdote, although John was not a model railroad, he would visit the model railroad layout in the passenger terminal occasionally. B&O allowed a model railroading group to set up a layout there, and they opened it during during the winter holidays every year. John and his father happened to be down there looking at the layout when it was open during the Christmas 1941 season. And he heard about the Pearl Harbor attack while he was looking at the layout, because he happened to be visiting on December the 7th. So he remembered that the way we remember where we were on 9/11. I prepared it, I see you have a chronology of some dates, and I'm gonna basically talk from that. In 1937 or 36, he began taking photographs of trains. And his first memories were of trains going back and forth between Wheeling and Pittsburgh, because his house was where the interstate now is, with a view to Tunnel Green. And his first close-up view of a locomotive occurred one morning when there was a Pennsylvania Railroad locomotive on the tracks that used to extend along the creek underneath the viaduct going into Tunnel Number 1. The work train was over there, the crew was working on the tracks. John wandered over, and the crew, as crews tended to do with John, asked him if he wanted to come up and look at the cab of the locomotive. John did, and my impression always was that cemented his relationship with railroad. He liked and respected railroaders. He liked and respected the dangers inherent in railroad equipment. He graduated from Wheeling Central, and it's ironic that he turned out ultimately as an educator, because he described his educational experience in Wheeling as basically a series of battles against authority. He wanted to do what he wanted to do, and that was more being out with the trains than it was being in class. And my impression is he usually won out. When he graduated, he went to work for Wheeling Lake Erie. And he worked as an operator and a clerk operator in eastern Ohio, primarily Warrenton, for 2 years until the railroad automated the signal system, which allowed them to furlough a bunch of people, including John, who didn't have the seniority to hold a job. So he then went to work at Wheeling Molding Foundry Company, which brings us to 1953. And you can see there's a blank in 1953. I wasn't really sure what to put in there. I could put in John J. Sell. Mr. Sell was the superintendent of the Wheeling Division. I could have put in the word privilege, or I could have put in the word opportunities. And I'll tie all those in together. In 1951, B&O started operating its largest steam locomotives through Wheeling. Before that, it had operated them basically between Fairmont, Cumberland, and on to the east, but not through Wheeling. In 51, they started coming from Wheeling, and they fascinated John. And he spent about 2 years photographing them, watching them, and so forth. And they would come up from the West Virginia coal fields through Bentwood Junction, 36 miles to the coal yard at Holloway, and then north to northern Ohio. And John very strongly wanted to ride one of those trains to Holloway. So one day he went down to the passenger terminal, and he went up to Mr. Sell's office, the superintendent's office. And he went in, he introduced himself to Mr. Sell, and he asked if there any way he could ride one of those locomotives to Holloway. Mr. Sell said that no introduction was necessary, because he, for a couple of years, had watched John on the platform. Mr. Sell's office overlooked the tracks. And he noticed that John was always very careful with where around the tracks, very careful with the equipment. And the railroad appreciated that. And he told John if he wanted to ride a train, just go down to Benwood Junction and ask to get on a train. If anyone questioned that, they should call Mr. Sell's clerk or Mr. Sell himself, because John was welcome to ride whatever he wanted to ride anywhere on the Wheeling Division, which he did, which brings us to the word privilege. I think if there was one word that I heard John use most frequently, it was the word privilege, because he considered it a very major privilege to be allowed the access to the railroad that he was allowed, to be able to interact with the railroaders, to be able to work with their equipment to the extent that he did. He always considered that a privilege, and it was very important to him that he never abused that privilege, and he never did. And he was also never injured anywhere on railroad property. But, as John also would say, along with privilege came opportunities to do things, and he was not one to pass up an opportunity. Anyone who interacted with John had stories about John. No one could tell those stories better than John himself, but my favorite story was a Thanksgiving story, which I think of every Thanksgiving, and you can think of every Thanksgiving. In the 30s, the 40s, and 50s, basically I think before the interstate came, Wheeling was a collection of self-contained neighborhoods, and they had their local grocery store, and Thanksgiving morning, John's mother began to fix Thanksgiving dinner, and she discovered that she was a little on salt. And so she asked John to go to the local grocery store to get some salt, which John did, except it was early and Thanksgiving, and the store wasn't open. So he had some time, and so he wandered over to the Pennsylvania Railroad Station along the river. And there was a train there waiting to depart for Pittsburgh. And John had not ridden in a Pennsylvania engine to Pittsburgh, and the crew asked him if he wanted to go to Pittsburgh. So he had some time, and so he got on, and it was early. It was early. Any of us would have done that. He got on the train, and he went to Pittsburgh. And he then got off at the Pennsylvania station and walked across town to the B&O station to get a train back to Wheeling, because at this point, time had passed. The store was probably open. But there was a train there, B&O train, waiting to depart for the Buffalo Division, which is up northern Pennsylvania into New York State, toward Buffalo, New York. And the engineer recognized John from Benwood and asked John if John had ever been on train to Buffalo, because if he had, he could ride with him. Now, there's a quiz here, and it's about to start. How many here thought that John said to the engineer, "Well, thank you, sir, but my mother's waiting for me and the salt back in Wheeling, so I'm afraid I have to take a rain check on that and go back to Wheeling"? Who thinks that John did that? Hey, you all passed, because he did. He got in his cab and he went off to New York State and called home that night and explained where it was, because of course that was before cell phones and email. And his he told me that his father was very, very harsh with him when he did get home, but that was an opportunity that he never regretted having taken. So, 1953, thanks to John Sell, was a time of many, many privileges, many, many opportunities. And it was interesting. I've heard John make a number of presentations. I've heard John in a number of discussions about railroading. Never once in any of those presentations or serious discussions did he ever not mention John Sell. He considered Mr. Sell the finest road officer he ever met, and was always grateful for the courtesies that were extended to him by and because of Mr. Sell. What John enjoyed most about railroading was the railroaders. But he also particularly enjoyed passenger trains and steam engines. And as Jack mentioned, in the late 50s, steam shut down, passenger service to Wheeling was dying, and the employment opportunities here were not what they were elsewhere. So John left Wheeling in 1959, and he went to Binghamton, New York, and he got a job in a camera store there. Remember when we used to have, before Walmart and so forth, we used to have camera stores. I think it was there Fulton Photo Shop?
Yeah.
That's where I would take my film. And then after that, I think it was Kramer's. John got a job in one of those shops in Binghamton, and then he went 4 years later to the faculty at Boone Community College, where he taught photography in the media arts department. And then he ultimately retired in 1995 and came back to West Virginia. Now, as you can see toward the end of the chronology here, he was widely recognized outside the railroad community when his photography sort of migrated away from or beyond the railroad community into the view of the general public. And his selection as West Virginia History Hero was not entirely, but primarily because of the 400 prints that he donated to the community college, some of which we'll see tonight. And the banquet at which he was the guest of honor in 2002, that was the last time that he returned to Wheeling prior to his death. In my view, John turned out to be somewhat of a celebrity. And I think if I couldn't say that before, I can say it now with this magazine having come out. But he certainly didn't act like a celebrity. He didn't dress like a celebrity. And he also didn't think like a celebrity. He thought like an educator, which was actually what he was. And if he were here tonight, he would, I'm sure, want to teach us something. And I think what he would want to teach us, as we look at his photos, is not to concentrate so much on the work and the ability that it took to create the photos, but rather concentrate more on the work and the abilities that the photos illustrate, which is the day-to-day work of railroading. He celebrated railroading. He celebrated the importance of railroaders. And that's what his photos illustrate, and that's what he spent most of his life doing. And he would want Wheeling to remember the importance of railroading. And my theory about that is, if you remember John Young, you will remember the importance of railroading. So on behalf of John, he would want me to thank the library and the college and the Alumni Association for what we're about to see.